Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. We had 29 in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to encourage you, if you're not attending, you are welcome to come. We have classes for all ages, and it's just a good start to the Sunday morning for our worship experience, y'all, is to come and fellowship and learn God's word during Sunday school. The flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall. Please take the time to sign up to provide flowers for the sanctuary. Sunday, March the 29th, that's next Sunday, Lord's Supper during morning worship, and we'll have fellowship lunch afterwards. We'd like everyone to stay and fellowship with us after worship service next Sunday. And then Sunday night at 6 p.m., fifth Sunday worship is in the original church, so please remember that. April the 1st through the 30th is the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Our goal is $1,500. Wednesday, April the 1st, 5:30 p.m., Trunka Hunt at the church here. So please be here at 5:30. I understand we'll have a good time and invite the kids and let's have a good time during that time. Easter sunrise service, Sunday, April the 5th at 7 a.m. at El Beth. Please remember that. Breakfast will be provided. So hope to have a good turnout there. El Bethel is right down the road on 179. Can't miss it. Just head south on 179 and you'll see it. So please come and support our community sunrise service on Easter. Then Tuesday, May the 5th, 6:30 p.m., Titus 2 Women's Meeting here at the church. Any other announcements? It's hard to believe. A few more days and it'll be April. This year is going fast. Any birthdays? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this time, Lord. We thank you for the past Sunday school hour, Lord. And just want to lift up this service to you, this worship service today, Lord, to you. Lord, as we studied and learned in Sunday school, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we have come to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, as Brother Tim brings God's word to us this morning, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as Jesus told Peter, James, and John, he said, or God the Father told Peter, James, and John to listen to him. He was referring to Jesus, Lord. And as we studied, Lord, that listen carries more than just hearing, Lord. Many times we hear, but we are not listening, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that during this worship service today, Lord, that we are just not hearing, Lord, that we are listening, Lord, and we are actively listening, and just not being passive, Lord, and just hearing things, Lord, but that we take it to heart, Lord, that we understand, Lord, that as we listen and hear God's word, Lord, that we also need to obey it and follow the Lord's commands. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing hymn 411, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
Save the world.
136. Are you washed in the blood? 136. Thank you.
him how lost I would be. It's a reminder this morning of what the Lord has done for us and for all who will put their faith and trust in him. And I pray that we can say, that we can all say the same thing without him. We have no future. If you'll take the Bible this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Last week in chapter 7, just to kind of do a little back up, chapter 7, we saw that after the walls of Jericho had fallen down, because God caused them to fall down flat, the Israelites were to go in and to kill every living thing, animals, men, women, children. You may not like that, but that's how God does things sometimes. And so they go in and kill everything, what's left, the gold, silver, bronze, and iron, basically put into the treasuries of the Lord. But we know that there was this man named Achan, that he saw silver and the gold and in the Babylonian garment. He thought, man, I can be rich. All I have to do is take this home, hide it, and then one day, I'm going to be a lot better off. The problem is, many of us think that there's always grass that's greener on the other side, right? But then we get to the other side, and what is it? It's just painted grass, right? It's not really looking that good. And so many times we do the same thing as Achan. We can say, well, we know we're not supposed to do that. But we do it anyhow, because Satan's always going to make things look attractive to us. But as we talked about last week, that when we begin to desire or lust after something, having that initial thought is not the problem. It's when we begin to dwell on it. Achan saw those things, and he was consumed by them, and so that desire or lust led to sin. And then ultimately, sin leads to what? To death. So, we know that because of Achan's sin, the nation of Israel, they spied out Ai, the city of Ai, and they came back and said, we don't need to trouble all of Israel. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000 men up there. That'll be more than enough to take Ai. Well, what happened? They went up to Ai and came back with their tails tucked between their legs, so to speak. 36 of the Israelite men of war were killed because of Achan's sin. We found out that God was not going to give victory as long as there's sin in the camp. That is true even in our lives. You cannot expect God's blessings when you're living in sin. It's just not going to happen. And so Ai defeated Israel the first time around. God revealed who was at fault for the sins that caused these 36 men to die. They brought Achan before them through the process of tribes, families. And so we know how that went. Achan comes in, he confesses his sin. But then there was still a consequence to his sin, and that was for him to be stoned to death. Not just Achan, though, because his sin didn't just affect himself, it affected his family. And they took his wife and his daughters and his sons, and they took them outside the camp of Israel, and they stoned them to death. This could have been a time where Joshua said, you know what? I'm done. Many of us, when we fail, what do we want to do? Give up. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to encourage you to realize just because you make a mistake, sometimes it's not a mistake. Many times it's something we did on purpose. Amen. And we say it was a mistake when it really wasn't. We were just defiant against God. We were rebellious, and and God has to correct us. But oftentimes when we come to parts and problems in life, well, we simply want to give up. Joshua could have had that attitude, but just like Joshua, God doesn't want us to stay in place. Amen. God wants us to keep moving forward. He has a plan and a purpose for all that happens in our lives. We don't always understand it, but God has a plan and purpose, and we need to seek that out. And I pray that through the Word of God this morning, it will show us how to keep going. But to do so, we need to obey the Lord. We pray with me before we read. Heavenly Father, as we get into your Word this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll just show us through your Word, Lord, that oftentimes sin causes problems. It always causes problems, but Lord, when we deal with it, when we correct it, Lord, we can move forward in victory because, Lord, we are seeking you out, or we're listening to your voice and doing everything you tell us to do. Lord, help us to realize, just like with the nation of Israel, Lord, when we're in obedience, it doesn't mean there's not going to be troubles and trials, but Lord, we know that we have victory through you. Lord, lead us and guide us this morning as we read your Word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Joshua chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourself, lay an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us as at first, and we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them out of the city, for they will say, they are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. You shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver into your hand, and it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you." Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stay between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people of the war who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened, when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know, meaning the king of Ai, that there was ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and they fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua, while Joshua were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of place and ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven, so they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on their pursuers, or on the pursuers. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they had all fought, or had fallen by the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as due for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on the tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Now, as I mentioned earlier, chapter 7, Israel was defeated. Israel was running back home. They were scared. 36 of their men had been killed when they took Jericho. Nobody died from the Israelites. Everybody survived. It was easy. They marched around one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around the seventh day, seven times that day. And on the seventh time, when they finished walking around, priests blew the trumpets. The people shouted, and the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And the men of war went in and took care of everybody that was still alive and killed them and burned everything. And so here they are. Joshua, it tells us when Ai had defeated Israel and they ran back, that Joshua and the leaders of Israel did what? They fell on their face. That they tore their clothes, they fell on their face before the Lord. They threw ashes on their head, which was a sign of remorse and sorrowfulness. And they did all this because they had been beaten. They had been beaten. And Joshua even, you know, he had trouble with this because, you know, he even says, what is all the nations going to do? What are they going to say about your name because of this? Well, if you go back and look and read through the book of Joshua, and I encourage you to as we're studying through it, this is one of the only times Joshua makes a decision without asking God first. There's another one coming up, but I'm not going to spoil that for you yet. Joshua listened to spies instead of listening to God. He didn't ask God, well, how should we take in chapter, into chapter 6 and chapter 7. He doesn't ask God, right? He just assumes maybe that, listen, these guys, because remember, Jericho, it was all the mighty men of war that marched around the city. But instead of listening to God, where he says, send them all, Joshua listens to the spies that says, only send 2,000 or 3,000. Joshua says, okay, well, let's do the high number here. I want to see them more than enough to get the job done, right? 12,000 against 3,000. That's not bad odds. And, you know, we think we can do this. He does not ask of God. But how many times do we not ask of God? We make decisions on a daily basis and we leave God out of it. Why? Because we got this covered. We can handle this job. Just let me do it. You know, no need to bother God. No need to ask him. I'll just take care of it myself. And many times, what do we end up doing? Running back home with our tails tucked between our legs because we've been defeated by the enemy because we never had God's permission to do it in the first place. God didn't tell Joshua, I've given this city into your hand. They just, oh, well, you know, God's with us. We can do anything. God wanted Joshua to realize he needed to keep going. Here in chapter 8, in verse 1, from the very beginning, it says, now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go out. Here again, it wasn't just 2,000 or 3,000. He said, take them all with you. Take every single one of them with you. Now, when you look at this, you say, well, God has a purpose for us, a plan for us, but if we're flat on our face, can we move forward? God says, first and foremost, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Much like in the adult Sunday school class this morning, when Peter, James, and John, you know, they look up because after they heard God speaking from the cloud, they fell where? On their face. And Jesus come over there and he touched them, reassured them, and, you know, tell them, okay, we still got work to do. It's not time to bury your head in sand, so to speak. It's time to get up and go. And so he's kind of doing the same thing with Joshua. He's saying, okay, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be bewildered on why this happened. Or, you know, it's time to get it go. There's still work to be done. Many of us, when we try something new and fail, we quit. We quit. I want to give you three quotes from three famous people in history. And I want us to realize that because you fail doesn't make you a failure. Okay? Failing means you didn't do something right. But then there's usually an opportunity to do what? Try again. Right? First one, Henry Ford. Y'all know who Henry Ford is? Some of y'all young people. Anyhow, if you drive a Ford, you probably know, have heard of Henry Ford. He said about making a mistake, he says, a mistake is an opportunity to begin again, more intelligently. In other words, you make a mistake, you fail at doing something, well, you should learn your lesson the next time and do it more intelligently. Don't do it again the same way. Thomas Edison said this about his experience. He says, I have not failed. I found 10,000 ways that it did not work. And man, he made a lot of things, right? Albert Einstein said, failure is success in progress. But many times we want to give up. We want to quit moving forward. We want to bury our heads in the sand, but God wants us to move forward. He has a plan and he wants us to go. In chapter 6, verse 2, God says, see, I have given this into your hand. I've given Jericho into your hand. Here in chapter 8, verse 1, God says again, I've given the king, the land, everything to you. It's in your hand. But to take it, they had to move forward, and that's what God wanted him to do. When you look at Ai and Jericho, you realize that it's almost difference between night and day. As I've already mentioned, 7 days, march around the city, the walls fall down, they rush in, take the city. That was all done in the daylight. Now they're going to take the city of Jericho in chapter 8, and God gives them a plan to go put ambush around the city. Last time, Jericho didn't have to. My point being this, if you go back and study the differences between Jericho and Ai, you realize that God does not always give victory the same way twice. God does not always give victory the same way twice. Why is that? As I thought about this, how many times in life, I don't want to put anybody on the spot this morning, but how many of y'all are sitting in the same spot you sat last week? Don't we get familiar with things and we expect certain things to be all in place, all in order, and our bulletins are printed out? Nothing wrong with having things lined up and planned. But what happens is when we start getting into a routine with God, we think he's always going to do the same thing the same way every single time. And guess what? God's not a genie in the bottle that you just rub and say, okay, come out, God, grant me my 3 wishes, right? God wants us to walk by what? Not by sight. And so many times in our lives, we're thinking sight. And maybe that was the problem with Joshua and the nation of Israel. God did it before. He's going to do it the same way again. Right? But God wanted them to continue to move forward. Jericho was the first city, other than on the other side of the Jordan. They come to Ai, and the second time they get beat, and they could have been, Jericho is a lot bigger city than Ai, and yet Ai beat us. We're going to stay down. We're going to go back home. We're going to cry on a pillow because it didn't turn out how we thought it would. When you look at the men of Ai, the men of Israel that were sent, as I said, 3,000 went the first time. This time, God wants them all to go. In Jericho, they listened to the voice of God and obeyed and did everything God told them to do, and they had victory. When you come to chapter 7, in them going to Ai, they don't listen to God, they listen to men, and they come back defeated. I'll hear again. But that same thing we do oftentimes in our lives. We know what the right thing is to do. We know that we're supposed to ask God and to rely on God and to follow God's direction, but we tend to want to do it our way because God's way doesn't always make sense. We want to see the results, but we want to help produce them, and that's not how God works. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do nothing. Now, does that mean you can't walk, that you can't talk, that you can't drive a car? Not necessarily. But it means that without him, we cannot accomplish anything of eternal value without Jesus living in us, walking us through it, guiding us, and us abiding in him and through him, and then we receive the blessings of God. God promised that he was going to deliver the nation of Israel into the promised land. And God's promise was going to be fulfilled. Yes, there was a cost, a costly lesson that Joshua and the people had to learn, that through sin they were going to face defeat. But through Christ, there is an opportunity to keep moving forward. God didn't want Joshua to stay down. When I was coming up, if you got thrown off a horse, what did they tell you to do? Just quit riding? No, get back on, ride him again. Because if you ever let that stubborn horse get his way, you'll never ride him again, right? Same way with a bicycle. When you ride your bicycle, we got a new little bicycle yesterday, and she loves you, right? Luckily, she hadn't fallen yet, right? But if you fall off your bicycle, do you just go park it underneath your shed or carport and never ride it again? What do your parents tell you? Get on and go again. God wanted Joshua not to be afraid, not to be dismayed. There was still work to do, a lot of work to be done. They had just entered into the promised land. But here's the thing. I thought about this. How many of you have ever watched America's Funniest Home Videos? Anybody? I've noticed, probably more than this, but I'm just going to use three for my points this morning. Number one. When somebody, you ever watch when somebody gets scared? There's times when sometimes I know they're playing, and you can usually tell the ones that's, you know, they did it on purpose. But there's times when somebody literally is scared to death and they go running, right? You've seen it, maybe that's you. Somebody's scared and you're gone. Joshua could have ran. He could have ran back home, right? He could have said, this ain't worth it. We're going back across the river. We'll wait till the flood goes down, and we'll get back home and to the other side where it was safer. Sometimes we run when we are defeated. Much like the people who get scared to death. Something scares them, and it's time to run. But then there's other people to get frozen in place. My mom, we used to have some black snakes around our house down in Florida. And I'm not really afraid of snakes. Now, I'm not gonna pick up, I have picked up rattlesnakes, but generally not, right? We're in Wigan, right? We don't mess with snakes. When I was young and dumb. But anyhow, these black snakes you could catch and pick them up, tear them around. Well, one day I walk up to the front door, and we always use the back door of the house. I walk up to the front door, I got this black snake wrapped around my hand and arm, and I knock on the door, and my mom comes to the door. And I stick that snake up in her face. I say, "Hey, you like my friend?" And she was just like, she couldn't move. She wanted to, but she couldn't. Sometimes we get frozen in place. Joshua could have been in a place where they made a mistake, or they got scared, and because he got scared, he was froze. I'm not going to move another step. I'm not going to go anywhere because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to fail. I'm afraid to make another mistake. I'm afraid, for whatever reason, that he could have been frozen in place. There's a third reaction that you see when people get scared. Which was not the problem Israel had, but I want to bring it up anyhow. Sometimes when people get scared, they want to do what? They want to fight. You've seen them get scared, they just punch them in the face, hit them with something, throw something at them. They want to fight. Israel doesn't seem to have had this problem. They seem to have been the people who were, maybe thinking about running back home. But they were definitely in the place where they could have said, listen, we're not going to move again. We're not going to move again. I mention this because we can do the same. When we get scared, we can pack up, run home, give up in defeat. We can remain frozen in place, frozen in our failures, and stop trying to do anything at all. That happens a lot in church. You get excited about serving the Lord, you want to serve the Lord, and you want to try something new, and you do something new, and it doesn't turn out what you usually want to do. Quit. You know it's what God wanted you to do, but at least a little bit of struggle, trial comes along, and we want to, this ain't working. We might as well not do anything. A lot of churches are dead today because of that. we have a third option, though, and that option is to rest on the assurances of God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The nation of Israel, the sin of Achan had been brought to the front. They knew what happened. They dealt with the issue. They have dealt with the sin. And so now it is time to move on. It's time to move on into victory. Because standing around being afraid does not accomplish anything. Maybe that's how we are today. Maybe we're stuck in an area where God says you need to get rid of this sin in your life, but we won't do it. We're frozen in place for fear. We don't want to move forward in victory because we like being where we're at better, right? God wants us to move forward. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for our lives. We just need to admit, to confess those sins, to move forward. But then there's something else we need to see about how God works in the life of his people. And I kind of made this statement earlier. God does not always do the same thing twice. As you go back through this story, you realize that. And I know I kind of brought this up already, but I just want to cover it again. Joshua didn't ask God about taking Ai in chapter 7. He didn't ask God. He didn't listen for God's voice like he did for taking Jericho. In Jericho, as I mentioned, marched around the city 7 days, and the walls fall flat. The attack on Ai involved a overnight covert operation that led to a daylight assault on the city of Ai. The whole army was united around Jericho, but in Ai, they thought, hey, 3,000 is enough to do what we need to do. God had performed a mighty miracle at Jericho, causing the walls to fall in. This city of Ai, God did not do it that way. It was a team effort that led to the capture of Ai and the eventual destruction of it. Each one of these things God did differently. But so are the other victories in our lives. We can become complacent in our lives expecting God to do the same thing the same way every single day, every single time. And when he doesn't do it that way, what do we think? Can't we run home and just say, well, I give up? Or we get frozen in place where I'm not going to move or do anything else again. Instead of looking at it that way, keep trusting God. Say, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm listening. I'm listening with intent to obey your voice, to do it and do it your way. When the nation of Israel, when they sent these 3,000 men to Ai, you have to think about this. God didn't tell them to go, right? God didn't tell them to go up there the first time. So he didn't tell them to go, but they decided to go. They didn't listen for God. But you also realize that when they took Jerusalem, what was the one thing that went out before the rest of the fighting men of Israel? Ark of the Covenant. What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The presence of Almighty God. It seems as if when they went back to going back to Jericho, the presence of God was with them, but then when they left Jericho, it seemed like they left God back there. And they said, well, we're going to go take Ai, but we don't need God. Well, we're going to do it without his presence. We're not going to put him in front of us, leading us, guiding us. We're going to do it our way, how we think, and when we think it needs to be done. When God wants to do something big or little in your life, he won't always do it the same way as he did before. We always need to be paying attention, listening to the Word of God, so that we are following Him. Many times as believers, we like ruts. Anybody ever been down over dirt road? Ruts. You know what I mean? As Christians, we like being in ruts, right? We like it the same way, same how, every single time. Don't change the recipe, right? Just keep it just like it is. It's just right. Don't change a thing. Just let me come in. Let me hear. Let me sing. Let me go home the same. Same rut. In and out. But you know what happens a lot of time with ruts? They turn into graves. So I like being where I'm at. Well, just wait for somebody to cover you up, right? Just keep doing the same thing over and over, and you wonder why God isn't moving in my life. Why isn't God doing it? It's because you're not listening. You're not moving with Him. You're not listening for His leading. You're not watching, following His direction. We just want the same thing over and over and over again, and we expect different results. And what did Einstein say that was? Insanity. Oh, there's no way God won't use me. Get out of the rut, right? Get out of the rut. When I was in the hunt, I mean, this probably got nothing to do with this, but it just came to my mind. When I was in the hunt club, you know, everybody had these big old four-wheel drives. I had a little white Mazda pickup truck, okay? And I could go just about anywhere the big trucks could go. You know why? I didn't get in the ruts. I stayed on the high sides. I stayed where my driver's side was in the middle. I tried to stay out of them ruts because I knew if I got in the ruts, guess what? I wasn't going anywhere. But you know, that's spiritual as well. Well, God, I want God to use me. I want to do great things for the Lord. Get out of the rut. Don't get stuck doing the same thing over and over and over again. God wants us to move forward. God wanted Joshua and the nation of Israel not to stop, not to get stuck where they were, but to keep on moving forward. And that's the same thing we need to do in our lives today. Someone once said, when you're through changing, you're through. When you're through changing, you're through. We need to be people who are ready, who are willing, who are listening, who are able, who have gotten the sin out of our lives so that we can be used by God. It doesn't matter whether you're 5 years old, 15 years old, 75 years, or 195 years. God wants us to keep moving forward, because here's what I believe. As long as we have breath in our bodies, they are something God wants us to do. Amen? As long as we've got a heartbeat, brain function, breathe, God has something for us. He doesn't want us to get stuck. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be dismayed. He wants us to give up and go in victory. But we have to do so following His lead. In order to do that, though, we have to be willing to admit our failures. If you never admit to being an alcoholic, will you ever seek help? If you are addicted to drugs and you never admit it, will you ever seek help? If you never admit that you're a sinner, will you ever admit you need a Savior? If you're a Christian and you say, well, I'm saved, but I'm hung up on this sin, you're never going to have victory over that sin. You're never going to defeat that sin until you admit it, confess it, and turn from it. You can't have victory while you're walking in sin. We must also keep ourselves open. Once we've cleared out the sin, once we've taken care of that problem, we need to be listening. How do you listen? If you've never been to, let's say, where's a very far off place? Let's say North Dakota. I don't know. Some city in North Dakota, you've never been there, you don't have GPS on your car or on your phone, right? It's gone. You don't have a road map. How are you gonna get there? You can ask for direction, but you know people's directions are terrible, right? So you need to follow God. Same way. We don't know where we're going through life. We don't know what's coming tomorrow, or the next day, or next week, next month, next year. We don't know. But for us to get there, we need to follow who? We need to follow God. We need to take His direction. We need to walk after Him. But we must be in a place where we keep ourselves open for hearing. We need to be in God's Word. So I don't know what God wants me to do. Pick up His Bible and read. Amen? That's a good place to start. Pray. Ask God. But here's the thing. And maybe the most important thing for us today is this. We need to look for fresh starts. We can stay in the same place and beat ourselves up every single day. But you know what grace is? And I know I've shared this with you. You know what grace is? Grace is another chance to get it right. I like that definition. That's mine, by the way. It's a chance to do it right. When I mess up and I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What does that allow me to do? Try again. Do it again. God didn't want Joshua to stay in defeat. He said, don't be afraid or dismayed. I have given victory into your hand. But you're not going to find victory with your face in the dirt. Amen. Some of us need to just say, okay, God, I give up. I've been struggling. I've been trying to do everything on my own. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need saving. And today I want to give my heart and life to you because I'm tired of this defeat. I'm tired of living beaten down. They do that. Some of us will say, Tim, I'm stuck in a rut. And I'm tired of being in this rut, and I need God to pull me out of it. Will you come and confess whatever it is to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and start looking for a fresh start? Start following Him. Let God have His way in your heart and life. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we close today, Lord, I realize it's really just the beginning. The beginning of whether we're going to do what you want us to do or not. It's an opportunity. It's grace, Lord, that you extend to everyone who put their faith and trust in you. Lord, maybe somebody today needs to give you their heart and their life. Just say, Lord, I'm tired of fighting it. I'm tired of being frozen in place. Lord, help them to have the boldness to step out in faith. But Lord, there's others of us here too that's stuck in a rut. And we think we're moving forward, but we're just stuck. We can't go anymore. And Lord, we need to look to you for our future. Knowing, Lord, that you don't want us to stay there. You want us to move forward. To move forward in faith, not by sight, Lord, but trusting you each and every day. Lord, whatever it is you want to do in our hearts and lives today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would not be afraid and that we would not be dismayed. You want victory for us. But Lord, victory sometimes comes effort, not that we can earn anything that you give to us. But Lord, faith is proved by emotion, by what we do, by what we say, by where we go. So Lord, I pray that our faith will be shown in our actions, to be obedient to you. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives. I ask it in Jesus' name.